Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Has it stopped raining down there in Adelaide? I saw some vision yesterday. It looked pretty bleak.
It was overcast at times. Bulldog said he got a bit of bit of rain in Rundle Ball. Was it, Bulldog? You got done at one point?
Yeah, it wasn't heavy. It was just, that sort of drizzle, but it looked like it was set in. I heard it raining again last night. So it'll be a bit dewy tomorrow night,
imagine. It will be.
Forecast is good tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, though. It's not as cold as I thought it'd be. Because you step off the plane and you walk outside and a bit of drizzle around and overcast, but it wasn't that cold. It was still T-shirty weather.
It's all good.
It should be good.
Comfortable.
It was comfortable, yeah.
Let's start with some footy, and you've written about the Jason Ryles Dragon situation, and it is edging closer, Adam.
Yeah, we're getting very close, Jared. So Jason Ryles' management and the Dragons have been locked in talks again yesterday. There's been a lot of consternation about the length of any potential deal. I think Jason Ryles' management initially asked for a five-year contract. I think the Dragons weren't completely comfortable with going to that length, but as I wrote yesterday afternoon, they've settled on a four-year deal at this stage. There's still a few things they need to work out in terms of the football department structure and some key support staff just around Jason Ryles, but it looks like it's going to be a four-year deal. They're hoping that gets settled in the next few days. I think his time at the Roosters clearly has come to an end. I think I was told yesterday, and I wrote yesterday, that the Roosters had a bit of a camp up on the Central Coast over the course of the weekend, and he didn't go. He was virtually just told to stay at home and concentrate on working on the Dragons deal. So I think all the roads are leading towards Jason Ryles taking over the Dragons. He'll be appointed at some stage this week officially if everything goes well. And probably a crucial thing for the Dragons too is, Jared, that he'll be able to start work there pretty much straight away. When I say that, not in terms of coaching the actual team, but getting the front office there, do some work on reshaping that roster and getting the club and everything in order, and then take over the team obviously from November 1 when they start pre-season. So I'm not quite sure how the Dragons fans feel about it, but we're getting very close to having a new coach installed at some stage this week if everything goes to plan.
Where does that leave a guy like Ben Hunt then, do you think, Adam?
Yeah, he's got a big call to make, doesn't he, Laws? Obviously, that'll be one of the first points of business for Jason Ryles to look at Ben Hunt's future, probably speak to Ben Hunt if he wants to do that. The only way I can see Ben Hunt leaving the club is if it's driven by him. If he forces the issue and puts in a transfer request or wants to be released from his contract. Because I don't think there's any way at the moment the Dragons want to let him go. He's clearly been their best player for a number of years now. He's the heart and soul of that club. And yes, he's getting a little bit on in age, but he's still got another 2 years under his contract, which starts from next year. So I know there's other clubs that are monitoring the situation. Laws, it's quite clear to me that the Bulldogs are keeping an eye on it. They're not going to make any proactive approaches as it stands at the moment. But if Ben Hunt does become available, then watch out. They'll be right in the race. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating couple of months for the Dragons, in particular Ben Hunt as well.
Adam, I'm always surprised that they give untried coaches such long first-up deals. And that's not to suggest that Jason Ryles can't coach, but 4 years is a long time. The Bulldogs did it with Cameron Ciraldo, five years. And these blokes are outstanding coaches. But when it's a first-up NRL contract, I'm surprised it's so long.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bulldog. It tends to be in the current landscape is that if you're the next sort of assistant coach off the production line and ready to go, you seem to wield so much power in those negotiations. And we saw
the club should hold the power, not the coach in waiting.
I tend to agree. But we saw that with Cameron Ciraldo last year, didn't we? Like, he was, obviously he'd done an outstanding apprenticeship. He's going to be a great coach in time and probably already is one, to be honest. But they'll talk about five-year deals straight away. The Tigers wanted to go there, if you remember correctly. The Bulldogs ended up going there with a five-year deal. And Jason Ryles has sort of been the chosen one, hasn't he, for the last 6 months. And now he's got the opportunity to try and push as hard as he can to get some security. And I suppose in a lot of those negotiations, he can go to the Dragons and say, listen, I think I need a couple of years to really try and turn this club around. Can I get some security with a long-term deal? And if the Dragons really want him, well, they might have to go to those lengths to get him. And that's where it seems like it's landing at the moment.
Yeah, good on him if he can get it. But I'm of the understanding and the belief, like you two, it's a risk offering someone a 4 or 5 year deal when they're a rookie coach. But anyway,
you got 2 years, Loz, with a third.
Well, you get a third
based
year option.
On KPIs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Talking about KPIs, the Everest. I don't know whether too many people thought it would have the success that it has had, but another increase in prize money.
Yeah, I heard you boys chatting about it a few minutes ago. My colleague Chris Roots has written in the Herald today that the slot holders have virtually been told that the prize money will be going to $20 million this year, which is just, it's staggering, isn't it? Like when you consider where the race started. So obviously, as part of that deal, the slot holders need to chip in a little bit more money as for the fee for their slot each year. There's talk that will go to $700,000 per slot holder per year. How the prize money breakdown is going to work, I'm not 100% sure yet. Obviously, there'll be some increases all across the board, but they'll try and probably prop up as much as the second half of the field, those positions 7th through 12th, to try and, I suppose, cover the losses for a lot of those slot holders, that horses that don't run in the first half of the field. So, yeah, I think Racing New South Wales have been quite, I suppose, public in saying they want to increase the prize money for this race up to $20 million. It looks like they're going to get there in 2023.
I reckon other racing clubs and other states look at New South Wales and just go, wow.
Yeah.
Why can't we be like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very healthy jurisdiction at the moment, New South Wales Racing, no doubt about that. Kevin Tari, a horse we've all fallen into and loved and loved to not love at times, all over as far as its racing career is concerned.
Yeah, the cult hero, Jared. I was a little bit sad when the news came through yesterday afternoon that he'd run his final race, and geez, what a roller coaster of a career he's had. We remember him as a three-year-old winning that Randwick Guineas. We all thought he's the best thing since sliced bread when he come on the scene and as a three-year-old, and then obviously his form tapered off a little bit. He went to stud, and let's be honest, he was shooting a few blanks at stud, so was brought back to racing, and he's been a really durable horse for Godolphin and quite consistent in the last couple of years of his racing career. So I know how much he means to James Cummings and the entire Godolphin team. So obviously, it'll be sad to see him finish his racing days, but he'll be looked after by Godolphin in their lifetime care program for many, many years to come. So I'm sure there's a few punters that won't be ruining seeing the back of Kevin Tari in his racing days. But yeah, what a great horse he's been in Australian racing for a number of years now.
And the Black Caviar Lightning winner, Coolangatta, who's Royal Ascot bound, of course, has had a jump out.
Yeah, what'd you make of this yesterday, Jared?
Not great.
No, Kieran Ma was fairly underwhelmed with the performance in a jump out yesterday with Cannonball and Artorias. They're obviously the three horses that are booked on a plane to head to Royal Ascot next week. And Kieran's comments I found really pointed, saying that I expected a lot more than that. She was a pretty plain. Ben Allen wasn't happy with her, so they've literally got a week to decide whether she wants to jump in, whether they to send her on the plane to Royal Ascot next week. We know how hard it is to travel horses anywhere in Australia, let alone overseas. And she's not going to be at her best. It's a huge risk to go over there. So, yeah, I think watch this space for the next few days because judging by the reaction of Connections, they weren't happy with her jump out yesterday. And I think there might be more news to come on that front in the next week or so.
Thank you, Adam. Have a great day.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy Adelaide.